doo-wop. Hello and welcome to episode 79 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps and I am joined by Altitude TV sports reporter and host Vic Lombardi. Vic, we had to delay the start of this recording, man. St. Peter's just made history. First 15 seed to ever go to the Elite Eight, man. Incredible, incredible game.
You know what's right. See, two sports fans understand what's more important. We watch history unfold. We got together here about 20 minutes ago, and we were both like, what are we doing? Let's watch the rest of this game. Then we'll do this, this podcast.
Exactly, man. Like, March Madness, like, compared to any other time of the year, right? It's like, whether your team is in it or not, like, you're on the edge of your seat. You root for the underdog. Like, everybody in America are peacocks tonight. And incredible performers. We were talking about Coach Holloway and how, you know, he's probably going to get a fat check coming this offseason after from some program.
I didn't even know St. Peter's was in the tournament, man. I had no idea until I saw the
bracket. Never heard of the school, I'm going to be honest.
I'm sitting there going, I don't know idea. I mean, that could be. I have no idea where St. Peter's is located. So that's the beauty of March Madness. You hit it right on the head. That's exactly why we watch.
Yep, exactly. Best time of the year. Of course, I've been a fan of yours for a while, man. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. I'm a Broncos, like I told you before, I'm a Broncos fan here in Texas. So I followed you on Twitter and keep up with all the latest news on my guys over there. And you've been in the industry for 25 plus years, man. Kind of talk about how'd you get there? What made you decide, hey, I want to be a sports reporter, sports journalist? How'd you get into the field?
First of all, when you put it that way, man, I'm old. Holy moly. Deontay, it's for me, I wish I had some glamorous story that, you know, some crazy happened, but I'm the son of immigrant parents. My parents are from Italy. And when they moved to this country, they worked every day. Both of them worked. So they used to drop me off at this park. And I was watching these kids play football. I was like 6 years old, and I didn't even speak English, man. Spoke no English. And I'm watching these kids play football, and I said, I want to do that. I want to play football. So one day, my mom took me over there, and I joined the football team, the Rough Riders. And I was just in love with sports. It's the way I assimilated to this culture. It's the way I met friends. It's the way I learned the language. And I just became a sports freak from a young age for no reason. My parents were never sports fans, never.
Yeah.
So I just got into it. And I knew that when I got into school and I played sports, when I was about eighth, ninth grade, I said, man, you know, I'm probably not going to be a pro athlete given my size. You know, I played it, but I said, okay, I got to think about like, and it just hit me one day when I was watching local news. It's just crazy how it hit me. I was blessed, right? That I wanted to be a sportscaster. I watched local news, I watched national news, I watched national sports, and I said, I want to do that. And no one ever told me no. That's the biggest blessing, is that no one ever shattered my dreams and said, you can't do it. I was always encouraged to do whatever you wanted to do. And from a young age, I just chased it, man. I chased it with everything I had. I became a journalist at the local, at the school paper. I wrote, and I hated it. But I did it because I knew that was the best way there. I started reading very heavily. I read Sports Illustrated on a weekly basis. I read the sports page. Yeah. I read the newspaper out loud every week. I just did things that I knew would help me along the way. And it was just, again, at a young age, I knew what I wanted to do, and I just chased it.
Right. It's like you realize, right, okay, I'm not going to be a professional athlete, but how can I be as close to the game as possible, you know, without actually putting on a helmet, putting on a jersey, things like that.
That's exactly what I used to fake when I was a kid, too. I still have VHS tapes of it. We'd be at the house, and I'd pretend I was a sportscaster. You know, I'd sit there, and I'd call the games, and, you know, I was terrible, and we were all just joking around. But it's what I wanted to do. I had no ambition to do anything else in life but that.
Right. So you're in the Denver area, obviously, covering the Broncos and the Nuggets. Of course, incredible, incredible offseason for the Broncos, man. But, you know, my wife had sent me a text yesterday about, you know, the stadium fire at the stadium, man. There were some jokes going off on Twitter about, you know, Russell Wilson already cooking in the stadium. But, like, What kind of happened there? Did they come out with a report about what went on?
Yeah, Deontay, apparently it was a welding accident. My parents, I grew up about 2 miles from the stadium, like right there.
Okay.
So I was at my parents' house yesterday afternoon when the fire happened. And we're looking out the window going, whoa, what's going on here? And then it came across Twitter that there's a fire at the stadium. And it was freaky because it looked like it was going to get out of control. Thankfully, they maintained it and it didn't get too bad. But it looked like there was some sort of accident that occurred in the seats, and it led to a pretty nasty blaze that they kept under control. But
yeah. Has that happened before at the stadium?
The old stadium, when they were deconstructing the old stadium, when they were tearing
it apart. I thought I saw something about that.
Yeah, there's something similar, but nothing like that to a current stadium. I've never seen anything like it.
Okay.
Especially seats, right?
You know, right. Just catch on fire.
That's crazy.
Right. Yeah, thankfully everybody's all right and things like that. But you know, the craze, obviously, I've been going crazy here in Texas about it, bugging my best friends, everybody, my wife about Russell Wilson being a Denver Bronco, going on 3 weeks now. But how, we know the Broncos chose Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But why did Russell Wilson choose Denver?
That's a great question. I've been trying to find the answer to that question for weeks. And I know he was asked that very thing when he came here for his introductory press conference. First of all, let's rewind. For the last few months, you know, every time you talked about a quarterback coming to Denver, it was always Aaron Rodgers. That's all we talked about. Aaron Rodgers, this, he's going to make a decision, this. And Russell Wilson's name came up a couple times, but it was almost like a dream. It was like, nah, come on. Seattle's not that dumb. Seattle will never let Russell Wilson go. There's no way. I mean, it's Russell Wilson. And when it happened, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, even to this day, I cannot believe the Denver Broncos landed Russell Wilson. How many franchises have landed future? I mean, is it okay to call him a Hall of Fame quarterback already? I mean, I guess I can. I mean,
he's right there.
Yeah, time will tell, right? But how many franchises can say in the last 20 years, Elway, Manning, Wilson? Are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean, I'm dreaming, right? That doesn't happen. And I'm not saying this just because Russell's the quarterback here and Aaron Rodgers is not. But if you had given me the choice between the two, I would have taken Russell Wilson all day, every day, because he's got a longer shelf life. Yeah. And I think it's a better fit. And frankly, I don't know if I wanted the drama of Aaron Rodgers. Yes. Great player.
Yes.
And I would not have said no, but Russell Wilson's just a worker, man. Look what he's done already. He's got the boys down in Southern Cal. They're working out. They've installed the offense. I love everything he's about. Wonderful family, great beliefs, Sierra, everything about him, man. I love it. I've admired him from afar for a long time, so I'm psyched.
Same. And, you know, you said it like it was a dream scenario for the Broncos. Like, in what scenario did you see, like, Denver acquiring him? Yeah. And it's funny that you say that because I always brag and pat myself on the back because I sent a tweet out. I've been tweeting since, like, October of 2021. At the end of last year, I was tweeting Russell Wilson will be a Denver Bronco next year. Like, I just kept doing it. And it was more out of, I'll show you the tweets after we record, but I just kept tweeting. Every time it was like a report, like Russell Wilson made one out of Seattle, and I would quote tweet it and say Russell Wilson be a Denver Bronco. I think it was more of me wanting that, but to see it come to fruition is incredible, man. Like, everything you mentioned about it, him having longer shelf life, him just who he is or has been as a person, like, I think it fits, you know, the Denver culture and things of that nature. You mentioned Peyton Manning and, you know, the way he left an organization where he had won a Super Bowl, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback coming to Denver. How much did he play a role in, you know, Russell's decision making, and did he kind of lean Russell there in a way?
Oh, I'm sure there is a role there to be played in just the fact that the lineage of quarterbacks that have come through town, starting with Elway, then Peyton, you know, the model's already there. Peyton already proved that you can come here.
Give him the blueprint.
Exactly. Yeah. The organization is conducive to this type of stuff. The fans understand what the process is all about. And, you know, this is where it benefits Denver to be on the west side of the country, because I think he ultimately wanted to stay on this side of the country. And, you know, playing in the AFC West doesn't scare him. I love that. The fact that he says, I ain't scared. Who cares, right? I love that. ultimately, this was Russell's call. And I think one of the reasons, the reason why Seattle decided to make the move is because they understood that Russell was going to go. He was going to walk. That whatever happened in Seattle, he didn't like it. And at the end of his deal, you might as well get something for him than nothing. Right. And his value right now is going to be worth a lot more than it will be a year from now when the contract expires. So Peyton was a different deal. Peyton, Indy didn't want him anymore because of the injury. You know, Indy said goodbye. They drafted Andrew Luck.
Right.
Russell, I think it came more from his camp than the Seattle camp for whatever reason. And that's fine because the Broncos benefit out of this. And
right.
I can't wait. He's been doubted his whole life, you know, undersized. You know what? He can't be running all this way. He's been the most sacked quarterback since entering the league. He's been doubted all his life. And he proves the doubters wrong all the time. Can't wait for him to do it again.
Yeah, incredible. And, you know, this offseason in general has been, I think I sent a tweet saying it's been the most NBA-ish offseason like ever. Like moves left and right, especially in the AFC West and the arms race. Who do you see right now as the lead dog? We just had Tyreek Hill, thank God, leave the AFC West. You know, the Chiefs right now are dominating the division, but do you think a move like Tyreek Hill leaving that offense kind of brings the Chiefs down to everyone's level? How do you see that
shaping up? I'm going to say it can, Deontay. And I don't know until I see them play again. You know, it's not like the Kansas City Chiefs all of a sudden are going to become the, you know, they're not going to be the also-rans of the NFL just because they don't have Tyreek Hill. They're still a very talented bunch. So out of respect, I will still give Kansas City the benefit of the doubt until somebody beats them and dethrones them. It's been years. I was at Arrowhead. I was in the end zone the last time the Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I was there for that game. It's been a long time. I had brown hair back then. All right, it's been a long time. So until they actually beat the Chiefs, it would be dishonest for me to say, well, the Chiefs, I got to see it. I got to see it.
Yep.
Not having Tyreek Hill makes a difference, though. I mean, can you imagine being a DB and you're on a football field and it's 3rd and 7 and you're lining up across from Tyreek Hill and you know that there's no safety help, the other way? What the hell are you going to do, man? I mean, where are you going to line up? How are you going to defend that guy? He strikes fear in every corner in the league. Of course it's going to hurt Kansas City. How much? Yep. That remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We didn't talk much about Coach Nathaniel Hackett coming in. I'm excited to have his energy. He seems like a enthusiastic guy. How was he at the press conference? I'm sure you were there. What was your first impressions of Coach Hackett?
My first impression is this guy's on some 5-hour energy going on. I mean, this guy... Whoa, give me some of that. That was my first impression. Yeah. Guys, he's wound up and ready to rock. So I love the enthusiasm. I love the charisma. I love the energy. I love everything about that phase, that part of him. Let's see if he can coach. Because the one issue, and I'm not even going to call it an issue. That's unfair for me to call it that. The one area that they have to prove everyone wrong. Every major coach on that staff is a first-time coach at that position. First-time head coach, first-time OC, first-time DC. You know, so it's not like they have any experience coming in. Now, the previous staff they had the experience, and it didn't translate. This staff doesn't have that experience, but they've got plenty of NFL experience. Maybe I'm overrating that. I hope I am. As far as, you know, knowing the players, being on the same page with the players, this guy's got it. Whatever it is, he's got it. We'll see on game day how well he can coach.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned, kind of segue into my next question, comparing to what, you know, the Broncos had previously with Coach Vic Fangio and his demeanor, like night and day. Yeah. Do you feel like his energy, the way he coaches or where it seems like he coaches is what the Broncos need right now?
Sure, and I like Vic. You know, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Vic Fangio. I think he was a victim of circumstance, and you know, he had never been a head coach. Again, he was a first-time head coach.
Yeah.
He'd never done this before. Nathaniel Hackett is a first-time head coach. If you think that he's going to have this job and go through without growing pains, you're crazy. There's going to be some issues that arise where, as a first-time head coach, he's going to know, oh, wow, I never thought of that. Or, oh, wow, should it's going to happen. It just, let's see where it takes him. He's got Russell Wilson to help fix a lot of that too, though.
Yeah, right? you can't ask for anything better. Like, as a first-time coach, having a guy like Russ can help you out a lot. Another big move that the Broncos made that grabbed headlines, and you know, I love Von Miller. Every Bronco fan loves Von Miller. Wanted Von to come back, but we went and got Randy Gregory. With the situation in Dallas, with him potentially signing there, but I remember seeing your tweet. Your tweet was the first tweet I saw that made me go, "Wait," because I think you had put a tweet that said, "No, he's signing with the Broncos." Yeah. How did that come to be? We know he had a contract situation that went wrong in Dallas. Well, how did that unfold?
Well, it was pretty surprising because everybody thought he was going to re-sign with Dallas, but when I called to confirm that, I was told, "Wait, it's not official yet. It's not official."
So as much as the Cowboys account tweeted that, you know, it was a done deal.
Ain't nothing on paper just yet. And, you know, and then you come to find out why it was not official, because the Cowboys changed the language in the contract. And, you know, it turns out Randy Gregory's a Bronco. Now, if I told you that the Broncos had a choice between Von Miller and Randy Gregory, they were after Gregory from the get-go. They targeted Gregory. And they valued what he brings to the table. More years left on his body. He's not that much younger than Von. He just hasn't played as much as Von. And he's not as expensive as Von. You saw the kind of money Von made in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. You surprised by that contract?
I was.
Yeah, I think everybody was.
Know. You know, good for him, man. You know, Von Miller is going to become the first $200 million non-quarterback. He's going to make $200 million by the time it's all said and done.
Can't be mad at him for that one. Yeah.
So good for him. He's got his jet. Just because he lives in Buffalo doesn't mean he can't still hang out in Denver and Texas.
Yeah.
Hang out with his chickens. So,
It's funny that he chose 40 still. He won't mess with that 58.
You're right.
Come back in Denver one day and retire that 58.
Yeah, you're right. It's sort of a karma thing. So, you know, Von probably wanted to come home. If you told Von behind closed doors and said, would you rather play for Denver or Buffalo? I guarantee he would have said Denver, but I can give you about 30 million reasons why he chose Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Switching over to the Nuggets, man. You know, we're almost playoff time. They're sitting at the sixth seed right now. How is the kind of tone and demeanor of the team with under 10 games to go?
You know, the tone is one of mystery. Because you know what we're waiting for, and it's what everybody's been waiting for all season. Will they play? Will Jamal Murray and or Michael Porter Jr. play in a game and win? Because we're down to the last few weeks here. This is it. I honestly thought they'd be in the lineup by now, and I'm sure a lot of people thought the same thing. Whatever happened in rehab and recovery, it didn't work out that way. If they get back in the lineup at this point, you wonder, is it too late? Will they have enough games under their belt? Will they be able to really compete in the playoffs? I mean, you're asking Jamal Murray, who hasn't played basketball in a year, to go from 0 to 100 in a week? Good luck with that. That's asking a lot. So part of me is just chill. Come back next year. It is what it is. You know, you're a victim of circumstance. Can't fix injuries. Chill. The other part of me is like, well, if they can play them. So, yeah, I'm still waiting to see. I'm not saying I'm losing faith that they come back, but again, we're down here to the nitty gritty, and they're not back in the lineup yet, and they're still listed as out. So the longer they're listed as out, the harder it is to anticipate a championship in Denver.
Yeah. Gut feeling. Do you see them coming back, either of them?
My gut right now says no, and I hope my gut is wrong. My gut says the longer this lingers, the harder it's going to be to get them up to speed.
Right.
It really
playoff
is.
Speed. Right. And they're sitting at the 6th seed right now. Right now it's looking like a matchup potentially against the Warriors. What do you see as their best first round possibility of winning the series, their best playoff matchup?
The Warriors situation depends on if Steph's going to be available. if Steph can't play, I'd like that Golden State matchup. They've won 3 or 4 against Golden State this season, right? But if Steph can play, I want no part of the Warriors because they've got that grit in the playoffs. They've been there before. After that, it's a crapshoot. You know, Memphis is young, but damn, Memphis is deep. Holy moly.
And exciting deep. to watch.
That's a deep team. They're 16-2 without Ja. That's jaw-dropping is what that is. Utah's Utah. They're always good. I think the Nuggets can beat Utah if one of their stars returns. But if you tell me that the Nuggets won't have Jamal and MPJ, that's going to be tough to beat any of those teams. It would take a lot.
Yeah. We saw Joker, you know, he was MVP last season. This year he's kind of had it on his shoulders, kind of being that guy, obviously, with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. out. MVP race, how's that looking for him right now as we speak?
I think it's setting up. It's almost like last season. It's not a runaway like last season. If you had asked me last year at this time who's going to win the MVP, I think we all agree it would be Joker, right?
Right.
Because he just had that kind of a lead on everybody. I wouldn't be surprised if it's down to him and Embiid, but watch out because here come some of the other dudes. Luka's making a run. I saw Devin Booker look like Kobe Bryant the other night. That dude is a witch. He can shoot from anywhere on the court. It's more open than it was last year. I'll put it that way. There are more candidates that are showing their wares. So, you know, part of me is like, I want Joker to win it again. Just give him the respect he deserves. The other part of me is he already has that respect because everybody's already acknowledging him as one of the candidates. I mean, you know, what's another award? Do you think
he's in that conversation always? Yeah.
You know, like for Joker, do you think it's going to really impact his summer? If he wins another trophy or not, he's going to chill no matter what. It doesn't impact him as much as it impacts his fans, I guess.
Right. And we just finished, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the episode, the ending of the St. Peter's game. They're heading to the Elite Eight, and Kansas just finished off Providence. So right now, we're at the end of this weekend, we'll be down to the Final Four teams. Who do you see cutting down the nets at the very end in NOLA?
Well, I'm never good at picking a winner, but this year I picked Kansas because I was next to a friend of mine who's a Kansas grad. So I said, I'm going to do you a favor right now. Just pick Kansas for the hell of it. So I never really thought it through. I just picked Kansas. Man, but I like the way Houston plays. I love Houston's game, man. Houston reminds me, their defensive energy reminds me of Baylor last year.
Yes.
It really does. I love Houston's game. But at this point, it's anybody. I mean, who anticipated St. Peter's, man? Come on.
Nobody. And, like, that's the thing. And we talked about it with March Madness, man. It's always – or, like, I feel like this year more than ever, the parity is at an all-time high. But I think I had Kansas, you know, as a Baylor fan, I had Kansas finishing off, you know, and winning it all. Sure. One, because Baylor had gone through so many injuries this year, and it caught up to them in the end. So, you know, definitely wouldn't be surprised. I would love to see St. You know, head to NOLA. That'd be incredible to see. But Vic, I appreciate you coming on, man. But one question I wanted to ask you before I let you go.
Sure.
John Clayton, big time NFL writer, reporter, passed away, you know, last week. Did you get to know him? Do you know him at all? And what did he bring to the game of football?
I met John several times. He used to come out to Broncos headquarters during the Elway, Peyton Manning years. He made many trips out here, so I got to know him. You know, he was a pretty glib dude. He was very sociable, more sociable than people know. And he was, you know, the authority. I mean, he was on ESPN and delivering tidbits of news before anybody. You know, he invented that stuff, right?
That's who I woke up listening to. Yeah. Like,
he invented breaking news back in the day. So it was tragic. A good friend of mine is very close to his family, and I don't think many people knew about his illness, and it came out suddenly. It just came out of nowhere. So that's the part that it's one thing if you knew he had an ailment, but I don't think anybody knew about it, and it came out of left field. So it's awful. You know, in the last couple of years here, Deontay, I don't need to tell you, we have faced so much death, right, in the world, and famous people going left and right. I'm not saying I'm numb, because you never want to be numb to it, but my God, left and right, a different person every day. And John Clayton, that That's hard. That hits.
Yeah. Rest in peace, John Clayton. Yes, very, sir. Very important to the game of football. Not even football, just sports in general, man. Like, you know, the iconic Sports Center commercial.
I agree.
You'll never forget it, but definitely a big part of the game that will be dearly missed.
Hey, is that a Jim Ross picture on your...
Yes.
That is hilarious.
A Jim Ross car. Yes. So my wife and I, one of our first little hangout dates before we got married, when we first started dating, we sat and watched Bob Ross on Netflix.
Bob Ross. That's right. I called him Jim Ross.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Bob Ross. Hilarious, dude.
My Batman and Robin right here.
Yeah.
My hat's on the wall. She calls my room like a dorm room. This is my little studio or whatever.
But this is mine too. I got my own room. I got the same thing going, man. My wife don't even come in here. I just do all my stuff in here.
Yep. She already know the business. So that's yeah,
great.
Man.
But it's great that you're doing this, man. I love it. I love the energy. Yes. I love the fact that this interests you. And that you're taking the bull by the horns and doing your own thing. I think it's great.
Yes, sir.
When I was your age coming up, we didn't have this ability. We didn't have the technology. So, I think it's great.
Him and his wife, they're in the process of moving home. So while he's doing that, I've been getting guests on and stuff like that. I had Joe Lunardi on a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's great.
Right before Blackitology and stuff. We had Marcus Spears on last year. I had a couple of big time ESPN guests.
That's awesome, and
you just added to the collection.
I love it. I love your approach. I love your style. And I wish nothing but the best for you, Deontay. That's awesome.
Appreciate it, Vic. There he goes. Hey, he said it, man. Vic Lombardi, man. Appreciate you so much coming on episode 79 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Tune in to the next episode. Thank you.